important because it's more than politics. It's really part of all of what life is, and that's spirituality. That is health. That is politics. That is rights for everyone because it really encompasses everything for all people. So ring us at 516-620-3602. Go to give to the numeral 2 WBAI and pledge. And please do come to the cabaret. Come to Green Cabaret. You're going to have a great time. Jim Freund is almost promising he's going to be there. Uncle Sidney's going to be there. He's going to read to us in person. That's going to be wonderful.
Who's doing your front door?
We have Patricia Ponce. We have Jack Attack, two volunteers. Jack Attack is a trip. Jack DePalma is probably sleeping, but maybe he's listening. He's a really nice volunteer.
His ears are burning.
I call him Mr. Attack. Patricia Ponce is this, and she may be listening. Love you. She is this absolutely wonderful volunteer who comes and answers phones every Sunday, especially during the Spanish shows. She is bilingual. Another volunteer named Maria and Therese from our office who works on premiums and Matt who works on premiums are both coming and they're helping out.
But the bottom line is this Friday, 2 days or 1 day from now at 1157 Lexington Avenue, which is about 80th Street at the All Souls Church. $20 gets you in the door. Become a BAI buddy right now and you'll get $5 off.
Yep.
And you'll get to hear Gary Knox and you'll get to hear Marcy J. Gordon. And I can't say it. Teokasin
Ghost Horse, who brings us First Voices Indigenous Radio every Thursday at 9 a.m.
And the Alter Cocker Rockers and Cynthia Lopez and...
Cynthia Lopez is great.
Danny Lamar and Comedy. Joe Landy.
Excellent music, and we have some cuts to play from him. Going to play them tonight.
Yeah. So, this is going to be... sort of an old-time BAI event, only it's not going to be that. It's going to be a new time.
Yep, it's here and now.
BAI event. Yep. It's here and now. And WBAI, people have been saying that for BAI to survive in the future, it's going to have to reinvent itself. And there's truth to that, but you know what? We also have to... not reinvent ourselves, but rediscover ourselves.
Yeah, you know.
And I think that's more to the point.
I agree with that wholeheartedly because, especially working in marketing and seeing it right away, oh, wait, we have to change everything. So they change a font. But you know what you really need to do, what you really want to do with anything and anyone, even with us as individuals, is get to the heart. And then when you come from the heart, from the truth, from the reality, and that's what you put out, as opposed to the accoutrements, you get the real thing. And BAI is nothing if it's not real. And that's what it has to be. That's why I love Sydney. That's why I love you. You guys are real. And... you know, I try to be real. I try to be who I am. And that's what I'm bringing to the table. My love of Mother Earth in the form of entertainment to everyone. Well, and just want to have fun. Me and Cyndi Lauper. Yeah. Okay.
You mean Kinky Boots.
Well, I mean the first song.
Harvey didn't quite
come. No, your Harvey didn't quite make it, but it was close.
Oh, I can channel...
You got channel? You can channel
Harvey. I worked with Harvey.
I sat next to Harvey Fierstein in high school in trigonometry class.
Excuse me. Oh, my God. And there I got it. That time I got it.
Our trigonometry teacher.
I worked on the off-off Broadway production of Torch Song Trilogy.
That is so hot. Over at the Public or where was it?
Yeah. No, it was at a very small place called the Richard Allen Center that you've never heard of.
You're right.
It was an art gallery, and we sat 60 people, and we had an assistant stage manager by the name of Matthew Broderick.
Who still lives in Westfield.
He will never work in this town as an assistant stage manager again. Yeah. I promise you that.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
So I worked with Harvey for about a year.
Wow.
About a year before,
so you watched him.
He was already there. But
he used to say every day our trigonometry teacher's name was Mr. Marcus, and he would always say, like, "You look very lovely today, Mr. Marcus." Okay, go.
Yeah, no, I can't.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. It is. No, that was pretty darn close. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I stole his logarithm charts.
Harvey's or Mr. Marcus?
No, Harvey's.
Yeah, okay.
Harvey's we're in good. A trig class.
Wow. At what school?
Art and Design.
Okay.
57th yeah. and 2nd.
Yeah, absolutely. I know exactly where that is. Yeah. So, yes, you're showing me a watch.
I am.
It's now
I
Hour
am.
Of the Wolf yeah. time. As it were. We're out of Earthwatch and into the last 40th anniversary program. Last week and this week were the 40th anniversary programs of Hour of the Wolf.
That's so amazing.
And, you know, we're not doing anything on it beyond celebrating WBAI and making sure that there will be a continued survival. And in all the years I have worked here, and there have been a lot of them, it's always, you know, teetering on the edge and this problem and that problem. In all the years, I don't think it has been more dire
than right now.
Than it is right now, where we lost our building due to Sandy and other things, and ourselves, you know, we have met the enemy and he is us.
Yes.
Kind of stuff.
Yes.
And it's so right now we are like huddled into, we have two and a half rooms here at thankfully they've been so good to us.
They've been lovely
at WHCR within CUNY CCNY, and we are looking to move on from here and regain our broadcast sea legs, as it were. And this cabaret is one of the best ways of doing it. You're just listening now? You're just tuning in now because it's Hour of the Wolf? Maybe you're listening to this on the archive tomorrow, making this already the past. And if you are doing so, let me... Yeah, right. I did mention the TARDIS before,
Gary. You are back
Gary.
To the TARDIS,
oh, yes,
aren't you?
Absolutely. So what we're saying is that tomorrow, which if you're listening to this Friday, is today, on July 26th, 2013, you remember that day, don't you?
Yeah.
You remember that you went to this wonderful, wonderful cabaret.
Wasn't tomorrow
at 7
wonderful?
O'clock. Wasn't tomorrow a wonderful
the
day?
The waitresses actually had an album by that name.
Oh,
Wasn't
did
tomorrow
they really?
Wonderful,
did,
yeah.
Oh, okay. And at 1157 Lexington Avenue, 80th Street, at the All Souls Church, which itself is a trip.
It's a pretty cool
building.
It's a
very nice place.
It's a very nice place with a very nice feel.
Welcoming, yeah. It's very
with
welcoming.
A very nice
and
welcoming. The kind of place where Margot Adler, pagan that she is, neo-pagan that she is, author of Drawing Down the Moon.
Yeah, she's big.
Was able to do a sermon on vampires.
That is so cool. That church is cool. I saw Cindy Sheehan there. It's a neat place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, and so this being the future of the past, we can also talk about one of the great events that was held at the All Souls Church, and that was Earth Mum's Green Cabaret. Do you remember that?
I remember.
I do.
Yeah,
and
that
I,
was tomorrow.
And we're all going to go to
wonderful.
It on...
Yeah, you were great, Gary.
I know. I was lucky that night. I thought I was really good.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, but, you know, that's
the
what
The muse
we,
was there. With
but that's what we expected in the past.
And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. And not to get confused, we are going, and there are still tickets available to Earth Mum's Green Cabaret on Friday, July 26th at 7 p.m. at All Souls Church on Lexington Avenue at 80th Street. With Teokasin Ghost Horse, with Marcy J. Gordon, with me, Earth Mom, with two bands, with Cynthia Lopez, Danny Lamar, and Gloria Waslin and the Parrots for Peace. And we're going to be talking to Gloria.
And Marcy
J. Gordon. I said Ms. Marcy. And we're going to be talking to Gloria pretty soon. We've got to give her a buzz and talk to her. And Joel Landy, whose music we're going to play soon, too. So thanks, Gary. Thanks for visiting us. Yeah, thanks for coming down.
I'm having a very musical night tonight.
I know. You had this your second gig, so good for you.
Oh, my God, yeah. And we got to talk about all these people that we know at least merely once removed.
The whole night has been very weird like that.
Yeah.
I was in my Bob Dylan shirt at the bar before I went on, and just by random chance, this guy came in who was my friend, my son's friend, who played music with my son, and he looked at my Bob Dylan shirt, and he said, "I was with your son like 10 years ago when he bought that shirt for you for Father's Day."
That's funny.
So this shirt,
oh my God,
this shirt was a surprise for me 10 years ago for Father's Day, and this is the kid that went to 8th Street and bought it with my son, Evan.
That's hysterical.
Positively,
it was really weird. It was really weird, and he stayed and saw the show. And
how wonderful.
Coincidence. I gave him a whole rap about the magic of coincidences.
Yeah, or the coincidence of magic.
Oh, I like that.
As the case may be.
So you know what? It's your 40th anniversary. I do have a question for you.
Oh, and I also have to soon actually put on
your film review.
The film review.
I know.
That Dan,
that's why I showed you
for our
at 1:30.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I screwed over Dan last week. I started playing the interview with Sharon Lee and Steve Miller of that same Clarion Writers Workshop.
Really?
And yes.
That's so funny that we're bringing this up.
And I didn't remember until a break that I built in during the interview to play last week's review. And this week he's reviewing the movie The Conjuring, which I'm probably not going to go see because it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
And even though it's supposed to be bloodless and all that, it's not necessarily my tea of cup.
That's
it's not the I'm more into the heady type, not Hedy Lamarr. The
science fiction more than horror.
Well, yeah, yes, but the cerebral SF. More than, you know, just the chasing around Matrix kind.
But when you were young, did you used to go see those black and white movies, the William Castle movies and the movies?
Nope.
Not even when you were young?
No, not even when I was young. I mean, even then. I mean, The Tingler,
but the chairs, they put electric things in the chairs and the chairs tingled?
Yeah, I'm totally familiar, but that was still the horror movie of its day.
13 Ghosts and House on the Haunted Hill.
Yeah,
all
but
those.
You see, of its day. Now, those are fun, especially in retrospect, but
well, they use the movie theater as part of the movie.
Yeah. The only horror film that I've seen in a long time, which I heartily recommend, actually, and I went with Margot, is a movie called Byzantium, directed by Neil Jordan. And
he did Crying Game, didn't he?
He did The Crying Game. Mm. You know, yes, absolutely.
I'll see that.
It's a good film.
Was it about the Byzantine Empire?
It's a vampire movie.
Vampire, huh?
It's a vampire movie, but remember that vampires live a very, very long time.
Centuries.
So you asked me if there is anything about the Byzantine empire in there, and I say, spoilers.
Okay. All right.
In my best Alex Kingston River Song voice. I was surprised how good, and it's not really a horror movie. It's a movie involving, and they never use the V word, it's not about vampires. There's no teeth there. What little blood is there is, you know, bearable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I'm very squeamish. I don't like
Me
that
too.
Stuff. And and yet, having said that, Dan Persons gave it a mediocre review. I, on the other hand, really, really liked it. And it's not Neil Jordan. I mean, unfortunately, Neil Jordan also made Interview with the Vampire, which I did not love.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He did a wonderful movie about a Selkie called Ondine, which got mixed reviews, but I liked it more than the critics did. But Byzantium, which I think is actually available on demand on TV, and it was at the IFC Theater. I heartily recommend. Well, how did I get it?
Yeah, that place is amazing. It's like all these tiny little theaters. It's like, what?
But they show good stuff, although it's rather expensive. Yeah. It's rather expensive. You know, you're paying there what you pay for the big stadium seats. Oh, we were talking about science fiction cinema and all that. And no, I was never into the William Castle kind of gotchas or the Vincent Price and all that. Yes, for the camp. No, for the stuff. For me, my age, there was really very little in the 60s until Kubrick came along.
Clockwork.
You know, that's... this, no, 2001 A Space Odyssey. You know, that is science fiction, folks.
And Spartacus.
Yes, although he took that over from Anthony Mann. He wasn't the first director.
People don't think of Kubrick and Spartacus.
Well, yeah, and I don't think even Kubrick thought of Kubrick and Spartacus because Anthony Mann was the director on that movie and he got fired by the producer, a fellow by the name of Kirk Douglas, and Kubrick brought on. So a lot of the filming, I know my movie trivia.
So then you know that Kirk Douglas broke the blacklist with that movie.
As Dalton Trumbo said, thank you for giving me back my name. Trumbo was writing throughout the 50s. He was writing films, but he was doing it under front pseudonyms. And Spartacus was the film that, and based on
but
a
Kirk
novel
said,
by
Kirk's
Howard Fast, another blacklisted person. Mm.
Kirk said he would quit if they didn't let him use Dalton Trumbo's real name.
Quit what? He was the producer.
He was the star.
He was the producer, as well as the star. It was his movie all the way. And
great movie.
He would have pulled it from the distributor, but he had the money and the power and the glory.
He did have the power and the glory.
Yes.
Paths of Glory.
Exactly. Paths. Oh, now talk about
another Stanley Kubrick movie.
Talk about a great Kubrick film.
Oh, I got
Paths
a movie
of Glory.
Guy
I, can,
here.
I cannot watch that movie again. It is too powerful. One of the great, 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 great anti-war films.
Right. Another Kubrick movie.
Another Kubrick movie.
And Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah. They had. Well, that's how Douglas knew Kubrick was from Paths of Glory. And that was the association. That movie's up there with some of the best, Rules of the Game by Renoir and films like that. Yeah, no, I'm a movie buff, as you can
tell. You sure are. Well.
And may I point out, by the way, Hour of the Wolf, title of the show.
Right.
Ingmar Bergman film, everybody.
Bergman.
Yes. Which I've yet to watch.
It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
It's not Bergman's best film, but Bergman's worst films are better than a lot of people's best films. And Hour of the Wolf is a Swedish vampire movie. Everybody thinks Let the Right One In was the first Swedish vampire movie. Sorry, Hour of the Wolf was. Max von Sydow and Liv Ullmann.
Right, they were tremendous.
They're the stars of Hour of the Wolf. Very strange film. Adler named this radio show after that movie.
So she's like really been into vampires for a long, long time.
No, not at all. You should read her little Amazon single called Out for Blood.
Yeah, okay.
Which explains exactly. She got into it because about 3 years ago, her husband, my friend John Glideman, was dying. Mm. He was diagnosed with terminal stomach cancer. Mm. And so then that's when she started.
Really?
With the question, what price immortality? You know, and she has read, are you ready? As of this speaking, 290 vampire novels in a row.
That's amazing.
She stopped for one book by Neil Gaiman.
And Neil Gaiman.
Yeah.
I know him. Good writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wrote a Doctor Who.
He wrote two Doctor Whos.
Yeah.
That's right. And he's got... Well, spoilers. And here, I really must shut up.
Yeah, we got to get moving on. I want to talk to Gloria.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got to do
Gloria.
That.
Gloria.
Okay. G-L-O-R-I-A.
Yeah, but Neil was on this show many years ago.
Really?
Yes, before he was Neil. He did my reading series, and he read a story called The Boy Who Traded His Dad for Two Goldfish.
Wow.
And, that is neat.
He's a prolific writer. And soon he's, you know, right now he's world famous, and soon he's going to be, you know, George Martin famous, George R.R. Martin famous, because HBO is making a miniseries out of his novel American Gods, which is the book, actually, that Adler...
You mean like Game of Thrones famous?
Yeah.
I love that
Not I. Again.
You don't?
No.
Why?
Gory. Gory, gory, gory. From the first two pages of the... I'm a big George R.R. Martin fan, and he was a friend of mine when he was here. He's done Hour of the Wolf, although not in many years. Friend of Margot's and all that. Mm-hmm. But I prefer George Martin's science fiction. He's written some brilliant science fiction. He's done some fine, fine stuff. But then he decided... that, you know, baby wants a swimming pool.
Mm. Come on, Game of Thrones is great.
Okay, no, I'm not putting it down.
But it is gory, like you
said. I'm not, but it's not for me. I've got nothing against people watching it, liking it, enjoying it. I'm a big Peter Dinklage fan. Sean Bean was wonderful and all that. I saw the first few episodes, but there came a point when I was just like, you know what, I will enjoy this more if I don't watch it. And I would really...
How does that happen?
You stop watching it, and you
read... And you're happy about it.
And I reread some of George Martin's other books, and he's writing other things now. Mm-hmm. And as Neil Gaiman says, when people say, you've got to write book 6 and you've got to write book 7, Neil Gaiman has come up with a phrase that they actually did a big deal of at this year's Comic-Con. George Martin is not your bitch. He will write at his speed what he wants. And if his next books are going to be in the wild card science fiction series, which they are, then I'll be happier. Good. And he has a diverse fandom and epic fantasy with swordplay. Only goes so far for me. But that's fine. That's fine. That's just personal taste.
There's a whole science fiction aspect to that thing as well.
Well, yeah, it's world building. And he's one of the best world builders out there. He does a great job with it. So, it is... oh, God, Lister is already here. That's our next show coming up.
So. Yeah,
so you know what? We should, at this point, I should probably play that movie review.
I think so, and then we'll give Gloria a buzz, and then we'll listen to Joel Landy and talk more about Green Cabaret.
But I can't. I'm going. I have to stand over here to have. We don't have enough mics in this.
Yeah, room. We don't.
We have to thank Gary Knox.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming, Gary. We'll see you Friday.
That was lovely and wonderful. And for those who want to hear more,
come to Green Cabaret.
To Green Cabaret.
On Friday, this coming Friday, July 26th at 7 p.m. at All Souls Church on Lexington Avenue and 80th Street. You can buy tickets at give2wbai.org. You can buy tickets at the door. For more information, you can go to wbai.org, and you can go to earthmum.com. It's going to be a great lineup. Teokas and Ghost Horse, Cynthia Lopez, Two Bands, Marcy J. Gordon, Danny Lamar, or Danny Williams, and Gloria Waslin and the Parrots for Peace. So please do come. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think, Jim, are you going to play the theme song for Green Cabaret? Okay, I think we're going into a film review.
Yes, we're going into the film review at this point. And you know what? I haven't edited it. I haven't listened to it, Dan.
Okay, so get ready for surprises.
Hear him slate it first.
Okay.
So, all right. Let me bring that up, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
All right. See you then.
Hour of the Wolf movie review, air date, July 25th, 2013, The Conjuring, take one. I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. Near the beginning of The Conjuring, Ron Livingston, playing real-life paranormal investigator Ed Warren, takes a newspaper reporter on a guided tour through the repository of haunted artifacts he keeps. Afterwards, Ed tells his wife Lorraine, played by Vera Farmiga, that he thinks the writer will print a positive article. Lorraine smiles and coos, a non-skeptic. Speaking as a critic, that celebration of non-critical thinking stuck in my craw. But it's not just out of personal investment that I resented that declaration. That automatic acceptance of things as they seem undercuts the film as a whole. The Conjuring is supposedly based on the true accounts of the Warren's investigations, which you should take with a large grain of salt. Director James Wan, who previously did Saw and Insidious, may or may not buy into the validity of the Warren's profession himself, but it's clear that his goal is not so much to serve truth as to deliver up the entertainment, and that's perfectly fine. The main focus of the film is the Perrin family, husband and wife played by Ron Livingston and Lily Taylor, who, with their clutch of no less than five daughters, move into a lovely house with some dark secrets and more than a few malevolent spirits stirring about. Pounding in the walls, clutching ectoplasmic hands, bad smells, and much, much worse ensue. So far, so spooky, and if this was just a film whomped up from pure fantasy, it'd be an adequate entertainment. Not much more. James Wan does bring a nice look to the film, applies his affinity for makeshift props and dilapidated settings to good effect, and occasionally pulls off some effective moments that take advantage of high-tech and low-tech filmmaking processes, the best probably being an encounter with a spirit materialized from a wind-blown sheet. But if you're looking for a new take on the old ghost story, this isn't the place for you, and it feels as if Wan uses the based-on-real-life tag to shorthand narrative elements that, if they were actually there, would have helped the story's credibility, if not the Warren's. There are no doubters here, no skeptics. Lorraine's psychic abilities, based from the character's viewpoints on her word alone, are not questioned. No one looks at the bruises on Lily Taylor's body and questions whether domestic violence is a more likely cause than demonic intervention. And it appears that since The Exorcist, the Catholic Church has set the bar exceedingly low for approving an exorcism. As I say, this is meant more as entertainment than historical recreation, and trust me, I've struggled to keep that in mind as I evaluated the thing. But even at that level, the film doesn't quite cut it in terms of plausible human behavior. When you factor in the supposed real-life aspect, this becomes the kind of reality that no one living in the real world would recognize. The Conjuring is okay for a nicely mounted but by-the-book ghost movie. If you're in the market for that kind of thing, it'll keep you amused for a couple of hours. If you're seeking something more, and I keep hoping for more from James Wan, who I think is sincere about his commitment to scary movies, but has yet to excel in the genre, if you're seeking more, this'll probably disappoint. And if you're looking for something that distinguishes itself by its grounding in real events and will dispel the doubts of the skeptics once and for all, come on. I'm Dan Persons. Stay up to date on the worlds of fantastic film and TV over at Cinefantastique Online at cfqonline.com.
In these days of crazy weather, climates change and ice caps sever, maybe we ought to get together and make some waves, and make some waves at the Green Cabaret. creature. Cabaret for all her creatures. Guaranteed to make you smile. Step right in, stay a while. Join the fray. Down at the Green Cabaret. Some waves, you make some waves at the Green Cabaret. Down at the Green Cabaret.
You can all cheer. You can all cheer. Thank you. This is WBAI in New York City, listener sponsor, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. Helena, what I will ask you to do is to prop the door open using that so it rests again in the door jamb. Because if we don't do that, nobody can get in or out. It will keep the sound out. Yes, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Thank you. Thank you. So this is not Hour of the Wolf. My name is, however, Jim Freund. With me is Earth Mum, a.k.a. Helena. And this is both a 40th anniversary celebration of Hour of the Wolf, and it is a celebration of things WBAI instead of a dire... Oh, my God! It's going to be instead this... Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, or... Hold on. There we go.
Forward and going forward.
Yeah. And one of the things that we're looking forward to and going forward to is this Friday, as we were saying, at All Souls... Church
on Lexington Avenue and 80th Street, Earth Mom's Green Cabaret. It's a variety show with Teokasin Ghost Horse, Marcy J. Gordon, Cynthia Lopez, and lots more of other talented friends of WBAI, and myself, and Joel Landy's going to be there, and two bands, Street Hearts and Reverend Mother Marcy, and the Altar Crocker Rockers.
And if you've been listening since midnight, you've heard Gary Knox and
right.
his wonderful sound.
Right, and he's with the band Street Hearts, yeah, and they'll be there. And it's just going to be such a fun night, and it's all for WBAI, and it is on behalf of Mother Nature, just like the song says, and that song that you heard just before was down at the Green Cabaret, and it was written and performed by Jim Allen. He is a real musical guy, musician, and he is a songwriter. And he wrote that just by listening to me and, well, not listening to me. We were pals, and we were talking, and I was telling him about the Green Cabaret concept. And then 2 weeks later, I got an email with the theme song.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't it a really generous soul and sweet spirit? It was so kind. And at first he said, well, I wanted to remain anonymous. And I said, okay. And then I said, you sure you want to remain anonymous? Everyone that hears that song loves it. And he said, well, you can say it's okay. You know, you can say it was written and performed by Jim Allen. So it was written and performed by Jim Allen.
So
and,
there. Yeah.
Yeah, so there. And hopefully one of these days he'll take part in a Green Cabaret, which would be a real treat.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Now, we also have, this is sort of also a preview
yep.
of things that we will be hearing at the Green Cabaret on Friday. But they won't be on the phone. They'll be there live.
She'll
right?
be there live. But right now, from the phone, we have a really fabulous act. She's done Green Cabaret before, and it's a really unique act. And it's not an act. It's something that comes from this woman's heart and soul. And on the phone, we have Gloria Waslin and the Parrots for Peace.
And are you there, Gloria?
I am here.
Oh,
how are
good.
You?
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Helena?
I'm good, darling. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good. Good, good, good. And tell us about Gloria Wozlan and the Parrots for Peace, please.
Okay. I was the lucky person walking down the street about 15 and a half years ago, Franklin Street in the city, and there was a small store called Urban Bird.
I know the place.
I walked in. I held a beautiful 3.5-month-old blue and gold macaw female. She went and snuggled up, and I wish I could have walked out of the store with her, but I visited her every day for the next month until she was old enough for me to take home. But when I first held her, a remarkable thing happened. I said, I'm going to name you Merlin, which is a magical wizard name.
Yeah, we like that
name.
You're
so beautiful. You will always make the most magic there is, children smile. And I also told her that I would not buy her as a pet. I would be her sacred mother, and she would do her indigenous work that she was born here in New York City, the world city, so she could come from the rainforest to the people in New York, and all the people who visit New York have a chance to visit her, not in a zoo, but to hold her and to have an interspecies experience where it's eye to eye, heart to heart, and humans and an interspecies ambassador of love on behalf of nature, Miss Merlin, would give people a portal to their heart and the portal of connection, as opposed to we're observing a bird in a zoo, in a cage, as a pet,
yep,
in nature, but apart from. This is holding a wild animal who's come to make contact with us. And so Miss Merlin came home, and when she was a year old, she went on vacation with me to Cape Cod, and lo and behold, there was a baby bird about 6 months old in a shrubbery store. Miss Merlin and I happened to walk in. She saw this young bird they called Baby, and he was gorgeous. 6 months old, the two of them fell in love, and he came home with her, and the rest is history. They have a 4.5-year-old son and a 1-year-old son. So the Parrots for Peace family, Miss Merlin, Mr. Baby, Mr. Peacenik, and Mr. Ara, have delighted thousands of people over the course of 15 and a half years that Merlin has been with me. And it's great. They go to powwows, and they go to festivals, and they are performance artists. They've been, their pictures have been shown at art shows at the United Nations. They participate in things at the United Nations, like International Day of Peace and Universal Peace Day. Human Rights Day, where they're calling upon an extension of human rights to apply to all of life. Miss Merlin and Mr. Baby have long advocated that Mother Earth is a living organism,
yes,
being,
yes,
upon which we are all brothers and sisters. So they are calling for an extension of human rights to extend to animals, nature, and Mother Earth herself, so that we all understand that we're on the same planet, we are interconnected with one another,
yep,
and we impact one another. And so the work that they do at events like what Helena is putting on and has put on for years, the Green Cabaret, is to make connection with people in an artistic way that forever change their hearts. It's very wonderful.
Isn't
so Miss Merlin spreads her wings. She she does flap, 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 golden wings, and she holds her beautiful wings open in a bird ballet.
And she's a macaw?
Yeah, they're blue and gold macaws.
Oh,
they're
my
gorgeous.
God.
Yeah. There's a picture of them on the website.
Huh?
Yeah.
So she does bird ballet, and I say to everybody, this is an expression of the great mother goddess Isis.
Wow.
The ancient Egyptians knew came in the form of a bird as form. And she laid the golden egg, the cosmic egg, in the ethers, and out of it, when it hatched, the vibrations of all her love in different forms, now it's called quantum physics, came out and formed the universe and the multiverse, and all life in an ever-changing, everlasting dance of love. So she really makes a big statement with her beautiful bird ballet. And then Mr. Baby usually takes center stage. And what he does is he lies down in anybody's cupped hand. So they hold him like in a chalice. And he lies doing a world peace meditation. And I say, Om Shante Shante Shante. May there be peace on Mother Earth between all people, all animals, and all of nature, as we learn to live in harmony with our one Mother Earth. Om Shante. And he just lies there in a meditative state.
Mm.
And sometimes I even kiss his belly.
Aww.
And then he flips up and he does a yoga position, headstand. And in his yoga posture,
I'm trying to imagine Para doing lotus position, you know?
It's he loves it. He's thrilled
about it. I'm working on that, Stan.
You've held him.
I have. Well, actually, thanks to you, I got to sing Colors of the Wind with one of the birds was on my head and I had one on my shoulder.
That was Merlin on your head. And that was Mr. Baby on your shoulder.
That was such a hoot.
Oh, yeah. To quote an owl. But
Exactly.
Sorry.
I'm bad with puns. I can't help it.
No, that was good.
Yep.
Well, macaws can imitate others, so.
Uh-huh. That's right.
So they can hoot if they give a hoot.
Exactly. So when Mr. Baby does his yoga, everybody really loves it because it's quite remarkable. And then he swings from his beak. And, let me back up a little. When he's doing his headstand, I tell everybody that is a posture that allows everybody to realize the enlightenment, that they understand that you've got to see things from a different perspective.
Good.
What is offered to us as the puzzle of a problem. But in the solution, we need to change our viewpoints and see things from another perspective, through somebody else's eyes. And that's called enlightenment.
And
so, for example, you could never attain peace through war. You'd have to embody peace, be peace, and emanate peace.
Yes. So,
and that's a very powerful and effective thing for young people to hear, watching with delight, their open hearts, a bird telling us this magical lesson. And then, of course, he flips over and he rests his beak on my open forefinger. And he initiates a very whimsical and cute swing where he's swinging from his beak. And I say that's his telling us that his favorite aspect of Buddha is laughing Buddha. that in these archetypes, all life has shared experience, so people and animals may have different ways of expressing, and even the rocks of Mother Earth and her and Mother Earth herself have emotions, and we express things in unique ways. So that is his advice, that we need to keep ourselves laughing, because laughter not only massages our inner organs, which is as important to be vital inside as it is outside, but it also teaches interspecies happiness, and he's an ambassador of love, light, and humor, and it's just very sweet.
And it's not over rehearsed because he's learned how to wing it.
That's exactly correct.
I couldn't hold that in any longer. I've been bursting to say that for 3 minutes now.
That's exactly right. I love those puns.
Straighten up and fly right. Okay.
That's right. So we have been with Earth Cabaret before. We really look forward to Friday.
Yeah, I think this is what really makes it, the Green Cabaret, having you there with the Bird family.
Yeah.
It really does. And
so
you know,
the Bird family is going to be doing something.
And so appropriate to that church, I might say. You know, given the kind of openness that they have at the All Souls place, that, you know, they embrace pagans and any form of reverence to life and nature. It's not, you know, the word church can be misleading to a number of people, but this is an all-encompassing kind of environment.
Yeah, there is an openness and a good feeling there.
Right. It's an appreciation of spirituality
and
community.
As opposed to religion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But having you there is so special. And I have such high regard for you and for what you do. And you do it with such joy and love. And that's always the key.
Well, it is. It's a beautiful experience. And people hold it in their hearts, I know that.
Yeah. And you're good, Gloria. You're really good. And your website is parrotsforpeace.org, right?
Yes, it is.
And you're coming down. You're going to be with us at Green Cabaret on Friday. And just to let you know, you can come anytime from 5 on, whatever works for you. And the show time is 7. And that's at All Souls Church at Lexington Avenue and 80th Street. There are still tickets. I'm just going to make a little plug here. And you can buy tickets for $20 or $15 if you are already a BAI buddy.
If you're not already a BAI buddy, you can become one right now.
You absolutely can. You can just go to give to WBAI.org, and you can also go to WBAI.org website and sign up and become a buddy with your favorite show, which just might be Hour of the Wolf with
Could
Jim
be.
Freund, because you might be listening to it. However, if another show is your very favorite show, you can go for that. Jim won't hold it against you. He will still love you because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah. As long as it's for the station.
Yes.
That's the bottom line here, is the continued survival of the medium that can bring you the kind of eclectic, open programming. And that's key. And I will moan that WBAI has not always been open. But the dire times that we have been facing, I think, are going to be teaching a lot of the people who are WBAI, who listen to and to work at and produce for WBAI, that they will become more open, and that BAI will once again be truly open as we bring ourselves out of the, frankly, and I have certainly felt it in the last half a year regarding the station, despair. But
yeah.
It's things like the spirit of this cabaret that are going to pull us out. As I was saying earlier, this is not going to be the biggest fundraiser that we have ever held. It is, however, going to be one of the best spirit lifters.
Well, it is heart and soul, because we have people like yourself. We have people like Gloria Waslin. Gloria, you're coming. You are all about heart and soul. You're coming with these beautiful creatures, the winged ones, who teach us that we are all related. And that's what this is about. That's what Green Cabaret, Earth Mom's Green Cabaret, is about, that we are all related. And the only way that we're all going to get through this is to honor Mother Earth and to live in harmony with Mother Earth. And what you're doing just just illustrates that more. And you made a point about, you know, touching people's hearts. And that's the way you do it, because anyone can talk till they're blue in the face, and they can give all sorts of stats on the situation of the world. But until it touches someone's heart, that's when they're going to move. That's when they're going to do. That's because they feel. And they feel to move. They feel to do.
They feel moved.
They are moved, yes, yes. Very well put, girl.
And I've got to say, when I'm down and out, when I'm feeling spiritually blah, you know, I'm a birder. I like to go out and look at birds in the wild, and if I can't go out, I'll look at them on webcams.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is a favorite thing, especially the Cornell University website. You have issues in your life, watch birds. There's really something so uplifting. Not necessarily all the raptors, because their eating habits can be a little bit, like, weird. I mean, the red-tailed hawk cams that they have is like, isn't that wonderful, those little chicks eating that chipmunk there? Okay, osprey, fish, I don't mind that. But
yeah, the chipmunks are kind of cute. But, I mean, they do what they do, and that's, bless them for that. But that's to watch, it's another story.
But that's the great cycle.
Yes.
You know, and it teaches that as well. But, and I have, by the way, a personal fetish for penguins.
Do you?
And there are a lot of penguin webcams out there. But let me just tell people, parrots is cool, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend who I think through Urban Bird, he is Peter Stamfel, who himself is a wonderful musician. Everybody remember the Holy Modal Rounders? That's Peter Stamfel. Oh, come on. With the song So You Want to Be a Bird from the movie Easy Rider. I mean, this is part of our cultural history.
It
here.
Is, but
and his partner Betsy Wolheim, who together run Daw Books, which is a science fiction and fantasy publisher, and they have four. They have two macaws, help me out here, an African.
Great.
Thank you. An African gray and a cockatoo. Not a cockatiel. The big one.
Cockatoo.
A cockatoo. And they have them they live in a huge loft. But these are not warm and fuzzy. These are not like what you've got.
Well, mine are socialized with people every day.
Yes.
They live really to fulfill their purpose of being rainforest ambassadors and spokes avians, actually, for nature.
Mm-hmm.
So they do joyful work. They're very big advocates of the water, for example. I'm living now not in New York City anymore, but 3 years ago I moved up to the Woodstock area, and they're very involved with the no fracking movement up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty serious business. And they want to keep water pure, and they go to events, and they do tables, and they take pictures with lots of people on behalf of getting people acquainted with the idea of keeping water pristine. And, in fact, they're going to be at a festival that they helped spark the genesis of up in Kingston, New York, on August 24th, Saturday. There's going to be a big citywide all-inclusive arts festival put on by an opera singer who started Festival of the Voice up here, Venetia. It's going to be called the Kingston Festival of the Arts.
Ooh.
And they are being involved with something they helped to create called Voices for Water.
That's beautiful.
This is not anti-fracking. This is not a protest.
Right, it's for something.
Concert. Right, it's not against anything.
Where do people find out more about this event?
Well, you can go to kingstonfestival.org, and the Voices for Water will be down by the Hudson River at the Hudson River Maritime Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And
a great place.
A wonderful woman named Pauline Olivares and a wonderful woman named Ione, who will be initiating the opening ceremonies down in that area on behalf of water. And we have a string of performers all day long, and certainly I'm hoping everybody from Green Cabaret and all of your listeners comes up, because it'll be the first kind of a 21st century all-inclusive citywide art festival, artist-driven, and there's going to be an opera with Julia Child baking the chocolate cake and a wonderful aerial performance group, Zool Dance from Manhattan, that's coming up with a 20-foot drop as part of the Mayan traditional and world dance performance.
Mm.
So there are lots of things happening, and some of our very favorite performers from the Pete Seeger and Beacon Sloop Club friends. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will be doing wonderful environmental and peace songs as a whole.
And hopefully a remembrance of Toshi Seeger.
Oh, yes. Toshi loved the birds. The Parrots for Peace are actually honorary godchildren of Toshi and Pete.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
That is sweet.
They saw her recently and very much holding Toshi in their hearts with everybody who loves her dearly. And she really enjoyed the birds. That's quite special to my heart.
Yeah, a quick Toshi story.
Mm.
Many, many years ago, when Max Schmid and I ran the WBAI table at the Clearwater Festival, there was we stayed there overnight.
Yeah, that
and
we've
there was
been doing
a,
that.
Well, I'm talking 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was a different Clearwater Festival, and it was a different WBAI, and it was Max and I running this.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when there was a torrential downpour, and there was this emergency tent where people went to, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and everybody is awake, and and huddling in that emergency tent. And wouldn't you know, 2 a.m., who walks in there but Pete and Toshi? And Seeger takes out his banjo and starts playing, and I sat next to Toshi Seeger. And, this is just, there's no point to this story. It's just a memory.
That is.
It's a beautiful memory.
I mean, there need be no closure to that story, is what I mean, because it was like a perfect moment.
Yeah.
And that's my memory of Toshi, and that's the one that when I heard that she had passed, that moment replayed itself in my mind, and I felt good.
Beautiful.
That's a great memory to have. It really is.
It really is. I am a lucky person.
Yeah.
It's a living memory.
Yeah.
Because it's timeless, like all art, and it expresses the process of love, which is that it's eternal. It lives within each of us. And so Toshi was the embodiment of that with Pete, but it was through the channeling of their generosity, of people being together.
And the it was the spirit of the people being together, and frankly, to no small extent, the music.
Yeah.
And that's why art inspires, allows us to re-envision. And part of what will be going on, I think, around the world as a spontaneous outbreak of love and joy is similar to the Arab Spring, some of the protests that have happened with Occupy. I think what is happening is arts expressions, things like Green Cabaret, things like the Kingston Festival, where the opera singer Kerry Henderson decided in his desire to do something that would reach across the spectrum, music and art, would really touch the soul and say more than anything else to inspire people to reimagine nature and reimagine themselves as creative and see the power of each of us and to commingle with different people's ideas, embracing both the historic traditional forms of art and history appreciation and the new collaborations that are coming with digital art and technology and things that have never been classified as art but are embraced as the human spirit's celebration of
art. Art doesn't stand still.
All
of it is together.
Yeah, I so agree, because like even the popularity of like the Bowery Poetry Club,
exactly,
where everyone's just clamoring to get up, and then someone like David Amram is there, and he's playing background for someone's story or poetry, and it's just such a beautiful collaboration that goes on, and it moves. Yeah.
And
amazingly, you say Bowery poetry. I was thinking about Bowery poetry this morning.
Mm.
One of the people that I brought over there was a spoken word author that I met when I was in Oxford, England, going to see Stonehenge, and I met up with Sparky and his parents, Phil and Sue, at a local pub, and they are buskers and phenomenal artists, and they wrote a song about Baby and Merle and the Parrots for Peace.
Oh, wow.
Night that we met them, yeah, and I brought Sparky over, and he did quite a bit of poetry over at Bowery, and this morning the idea sparked that I should actually contact them and let them know to come on up and do a lot of their work here at the Kingston Festival of the Arts on Saturday, August 24th.
Oh, beautiful.
So, yeah, we'll get a lot of people up from New York because the Catskill area, Kingston is just really a bus ride away.
It's certainly, by the way, may I point out, within our listening area, within our
absolutely
listening range.
90 miles.
We're 50,000 watts here at WBAI for the nonce, and as long as that continues, we broadcast to that part of Westchester and New York. So they is us.
That's right.
We are
all one.
Indeed. And add to that the internet, and our reach is endless.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think everybody
to give generously to WBAI because it does touch everybody.
And we, in turn, give to WBAI. We will continue to give back to you.
That's great.
We will. I mean, there's so many people here with heart and soul. So many of the producers that I see come, and they don't get a penny for their work. But, Jim, have you ever been paid? Or you were on staff for a short period of time?
No. I've run the switchboard.
This is Jim's 40th anniversary.
No.
Of Hour of the Wolf.
Okay. I've been working here since 1967. So I've been here 46 years. So and Margot started Hour of the Wolf 42 years ago. It's merely my 40th anniversary of doing the show, of having wrested it, taken it away from Adler so she can be, you know, Ms. NPR and Ms. Ultra Queen Pagan. And
well, you know, Margot Adler was somebody who did one of the very first rituals that I had somebody else besides myself do, and Starlock was another. Over at the Universalist Unitarian Church.
Right.
On the west side.
Mm.
Was that 79th or 83rd or something?
Mm-hmm.
When I had a group called Moonfire.
Ooh, okay.
And then
Adler told me all about that, yes.
Yeah, it was spectacular. And then I changed the name of the group that I led for another decade or so in the city called Energy, Network for the Realization of the Goddess.
Mm.
And the Parrots for Peace were regularly at the weekly meetings that we had over at the Community Center in New York, where we found wonderful stories about all the world's indigenous traditions, especially the sacred feminine within each of us.
Yeah.
And there were spontaneous rituals that we created to empower each of us and to spread love throughout the world through dimensions, and really like throwing a pebble into the center of a lake and seeing the ripples out, that we were sending love through all time and all traditional expressions. So nature is part of that, and so the Parrots for Peace were very much blessing the water and the elements as well as all people.
So these are neo-parrot pagans or neo-pagan parrots or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
They've sung with the Raging Grannies. They've been with Ken from Ecologic at a pagan festival down at Bowling Green,
mm-hmm.
when he did a show about saving energy, and they were on his shoulders during a BAI broadcast.
Oh, I've seen a photo of that. So
right.
I have seen them.
Right.
Okay, yes.
They are friends with Andrea Sears, because Andrea, a newscaster on WBAI, was part of the energy circle, and knows Baby and Merlin very well.
Well, if you want to see a picture of them, go to earthmum.com, my website, and you can go to Green Cabaret Performers up on top and click on that, and you'll see a picture, although we don't have Ara there, but we have Ms. Merlin and Mr. Baby, and I'm not sure if...
That's little. You have a picture of Little Peacenik when he was about...
He was a baby.
3 months old.
Oh.
Well, pish posh, peacenik, pagan parrots. I say, come see them live on Friday.
Indeed, sir. Indeed. Come down to the Green Cabaret on Friday night.
And did you like that alliteration?
I thought that was lovely.
I was very proud of myself.
Next, we need onomatopoeia. Onomatopoeia. Anyway, forget him. Come down to the Green. Onomatopoeia? Okay.
You know, you're going to, Helena, you're going to have Adler.
Oh,
at
I
some
would.
Point.
Yes, that would be a great idea. And that would be most well. I'd be my honor.
She's out of town right now. She spends summers up in Massachusetts. But,
well, that's a nice thing.
To write. And that's what she's doing right now. And we finally, by the way, got her website, margoadler.com.
Okay.
Very good.
And I am her webmaster. She has no master, but she has a webmaster.
A webmaster. Well, you have a very interesting relationship. I mean, the whole thing with Hour of the Wolf.
I've worked with Margot since about 1970.
And here you were, this little kid coming to BAI. I mean, doing all these jobs. What was the first thing you? And I just have to tell you, come to the Green Cabaret.
I
need to find out more about Jim Freund and this 40th anniversary of Hour of the Wolf, but 46 years working with WBAI. And he has as much passion as I think he might have had in the beginning. This guy is not short of passion. And love, no, it doesn't seem dissipated. It doesn't seem stale. You are in love with what you do. You are in love with being here. You have to support WBAI, if for nothing else, for Jim Freund, because what would he do with himself? And I have heard you say that on the show.
I listen. About that.
Yeah, what would I do with myself without this? And I know you mean that from your heart, and I could... You're just delightful to listen to.
There's the old, you know, what will you do without WBAI is what we say to listeners. And there comes a point when I say, wait a second, what will I do?
Yep.
This is my outlet. This is where I have been since I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
And, this is, I have on my Facebook page, it says, where did you study? Answer, WBAI. What is your religion? WBAI.
What a religion and education you got, baby.
You know, blessed be WBAI for that matter.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, I'm sorry, Gloria, what were you saying?
Absolutely, that's right. It's the ability to commune with all of the listeners, sharing the vibration of love that you have to give by offering the beautiful voices of all of your guests.
And what people have to realize is that when Adler created Hour of the Wolf, It is, I think, she was did the best freeform live radio I have ever heard in my entire life. If in her second book, Heretic's Heart, she writes about the earliest days of Hour of the Wolf, which, by the way, that section of the book is available at ourwolf.com for free. And I should put it on margoladler.com, in fact, now that there is one, finally.
Good webmaster.
Yes, thank you. And thank you. A little pat on the head for Jim here. And when Adler started the show, she did it 5 days a week. It's what turned WBAI into a 24-hour-a-day radio station. Before that, we used to sign off
at what time
at night, and Margot took the 5 to 7 a.m. slot, turning us into this thing. And what she did, the spirituality, her sense, her awareness of world politics as a Berkeley free speech journalism student, as a member of the Venice Ramos Brigade, as the granddaughter of Alfred Adler, as in Freud, Adler, and Jung. I mean, Margot's not a boring person, in case nobody's noticed. And as author of a book that I think is probably responsible for bringing neo-paganism to a huge number of people. She has helped them. I won't say she has enlightened them. I would say she's helped them enlighten themselves.
Facilitated the experience.
Thank you. That's exactly it, Gloria. That's exactly the right phrase. She has facilitated that. And she did that with Hour of the Wolf. She did that by creating this radio program. I was her co-host in the beginning on Thursdays and Fridays. And as she went to do other programs on BAI, including Unstuck in Time and some other shows, I was always her engineer, is when I became Hour of the Wolf. And when Hour of the Wolf finally went to one day a week, which was in about 1980, then the one thing that I did with Margot, which were the science fiction mornings, Hour of the Wolf is not, strictly speaking, a radio program about science fiction and fantasy. It is a free-form radio program, hopefully in the spirit of what Adler created in that time slot, even though we're not in the Hour of the Wolf anymore, which is the morning twilight. But nevertheless, I reserve the right to do programs like the one we are doing this very morning, which is very much in the spirit of what Margot was doing with the program, and hopefully invoking these positive energies that, you know, we're not just flaunting and flogging the Earth Mum's green cabaret.
We're not, are we?
No, we're not. What we're doing is we're celebrating what that stands for.
Yep.
These are different expressions of the same vibration of love.
That's right.
So it comes out in a collective like Green Cabaret. It comes out in a collective like this radio program. It comes out in personal rituals that people do automatically because they're just sensitive enough and they're moving meditation of being mindful that they intuitively are presented with synchronicities that are to just be celebrated with gratitude. And when we drink our glass of water, to do a prayer on the water, because we are well over 99% water.
99.5%.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we just give a prayer to Mother Water, and we take that within ourselves. And it would be impossible for us to separate ourselves from nature and to go into that ordinary think that society puts on us. And we get into the truth of everything is connected, and it's all organic, and it's a beautiful flow. And it would be a very different world if we empower one another to that pathway to our hearts, which is one of the things that Margot and her sisters, myself as one of the early leaders in kind of the matriarchal goddess spirituality, which is not confined to gender females.
Right.
God, no.
It's with
goddess, no, excuse me.
Exactly. Goddess guy.
Goddess guy.
Goddess guy and goddess guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hair, yeah. Yin and yang.
Yep. Yep. Need each other. Yeah. It's that balance. Yeah. But, you know, and it's interesting because, again, where else but WBAI? Where else? We're on radio, and you surely don't get it on television. Do you get conversations like what we're having and having the opportunity to talk about these subjects and to really feel and to speak from the heart? It just doesn't happen. This station is unique, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the beautiful.
And to seriously discuss neo-paganism as an important force in this world without people going, oh, it's a Wiccan, or it's we're talking about witches. And
Well, yes, we are.
Get over it, folks. I'm sorry, Gloria?
You're talking about something that's organic. We're putting labels on it, but it's undefinable.
Well, it is, and I don't call myself a Wiccan. I don't know what I am.
Well,
don't label it.
You're everything. You're going with the inner flow,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're trying to get to with language, the path to the
heart.
The all there is, the heart, mm.
is not through language. Yeah.
It's moving from head-centric to heart-centric.
Yeah.
We're using both hemispheres of the brain, moving towards systemic wholeness. And we've been talking about that probably from the beginning of time, and it's just lighting.
Especially
more
from the
people.
Beginning of time.
Yeah.
There's a reason it's called the old religion.
Well, because it's timeless. There's
yes.
no such thing as time.
Mm.
It's all now, and it's all about love. So if we can get to that, we're just moving on the infinite possibilities in the hologram to the Taurus vibration that really lifts Earth to a civilization one where we don't kill one another. We live in the act of harmony and kindness that the Golden Rule talks about. All of that is possible if we get off an energy grid of consumerism and fossil fuels and into the intentional vibration of love. And all the expressions that come with that, using ambient energy that's available to us to empower everybody.
And this is, if I can interject, why I feel that while I have taken on the concept of a science fiction / fantasy program,
mm-hmm.
using the name Hour of the Wolf that Margot created, that I am still in trying to be in tune with what she created, because at the heart of good science fiction and fantasy is the idea that we have to look within and without ourselves and understand the alternate worlds that can exist. The best of science fiction, and this is perhaps why I don't so much embrace horror as I do the science fiction and fantasy, is because it expands thinking. It makes you look in places that you haven't before, and no matter how far in the future you're setting your story, you're writing about today.
It's always about now.
It's always about now. It's always about your inner self, no matter how far out one may be reaching or into what fantasy realm one may be looking. It's from the human spirit. These things are written by people. And, you know, for those people who are saying, I tuned in to Freud to listen to some science fiction this morning, I say, read some Le Guin. You know, read The Left Hand of Darkness. Read, there's some fabulous pagan science fiction out there, by the way.
Really?
Neo-pagan. Oh, yes.
Oh, even Starhawk has written.
Yes, absolutely. Starhawk has written. Not even.
aside from the more commonly known science fiction writer names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
But the idea that you're talking about with science fiction as a mirror to our own society,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's like the goldfish in the water doesn't necessarily see the bowl.
Exactly.
We are so immersed in the societal values that we live in, like the Matrix, right?
Mm.
That we don't necessarily have an opportunity to see something from a different viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
so that we could take a look at these behaviors or attitudes and question them and see the impact, whether it's called racism or it's called war or it's called gender differences or any inhumanity to another. And science fiction presents us with an ability to suspend our belief and to get into the literature and into the characters and really create that fantasy world. And we can take a look at the echoes in our world and perhaps come to some enlightened ideas or some observations that make a direct impact.
And we can see
that show how we're living and what our attitudes are, so we can make those changes.
Mm.
And we can therefore see ourselves from that alien viewpoint and, with any luck, laugh at ourselves.
Exactly, and to enjoy the idea of true diversity, that there may very well, and probably are, other planets, other universes, other ways of being, entities that are not necessarily carbon-based. And
mm-hmm.
just like if we look at Earth and we see a duck-billed platypus in some species that haven't yet been discovered, we are living in almost that Star Wars kind of bar where you go into any place in New York City and you can see really an international set.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful example of a world city where everybody's getting together and living in harmony, and there's an appreciation of the different cultures,
mm-hmm.
whether you're going to eat in an Asian restaurant or an Italian or a Greek or a Thai. We can have everything in New York,
making
the music, the culture.
Mm.
And when we're taking a walk in nature, we're seeing all the life around us, and we get into a different vibration, and that nature is really informing us in a different way. People like Susan Weed, who really tell us how we can communicate with the divas of nature.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
It's another way to open the portal of our heart to
yep.
get into what's true and authentic. And that's what Green Cabaret and your program that really has that eminence of that wolf idea of women who run with the wolves. An animal,
yeah.
animal ideology of we are all together, and to celebrate the human being is an animal, just another type.
Yep.
So that we're all related, as Helena said, brothers and sisters, whether the winged ones, the crawly ones, the all
four-legged,
of us.
All of us.
Yeah.
As the incredible string band used to sing, "Here we go slithering."
Exactly.
Those two.
That's right. So the indigenous cultures have always told us that we're connected in brothers and sisters, and we need to bring that indigenous human being spirit of nature into all of our lives.
We
no
so
what
do. Yeah, because now it's like going backwards into the future. In order to go forward, we do need to look back at what the indigenous cultures stand for, who they are, their knowledge, gather that, take it, learn it, and live with it, and going back to go forward, because we don't go forward from the way we've been learning. Gloria, this has been fabulous. I know we're getting really close, and I just want to put in... So, Gloria, you are going to be at Green Cabaret with the four baby parrots. Your website is parrotsforpeace.org, and please, everyone, come to the Green Cabaret.
It'll
this
be wonderful.
It's going to be great. This Friday, July 26th at 7 p.m. at All Souls
starting
Church.
Starting at 7 p.m.
Starting
Show up
at
early.
7 p.m.
Show
okay,
up early.
Get there earlier because people come at the door and then it's just...
Meet each other.
Bottleneck. Meet each other.
The weather's
play.
Gotten better. Meet each other.
It's lovely, yes. 7 p.m., All Souls Church, 80th Street and Lexington Avenue. Entrances on through the garden on Lexington Avenue between 79th and 80th. It's only $20. $15 if you're a BAI buddy. You can buy tickets at the door. You can buy tickets at give2wbai.org. And if you want more information, go to wbai.org. Go to earthmum.com. You can email me at earthmumlove@gmail.com. And I so look forward to seeing you all in Gloria. Love you. And have a safe trip down and look
love
forward.
You too, Helena.
Thanks, darling. Look forward to seeing you and the little babies.
Yeah, they look forward to seeing you again.
Good.
Blessed be. Thank you. Blessed
thank you be. So much.
Okay. Have a great morning, Gloria. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Jim.
Thanks.
So that was really cool.
That was totally cool. But you're really cool. And 40 years doing this, 46 years at BAI. You started when you were two. You came in and said,
just about.
Mama, Papa, yeah.
I mean, I was 13, but I wasn't, you know, I was a phone answerer.
You were a little boy. And that was the very first thing you did. Was it during a drive when you were volunteering?
It was the first marathon.
The
first time they asked for people to come in and answer phones. That's when I started.
So when did you start listening before you came in? How long were you listening before you came in to
answer
phones?
Oh, maybe 2 years beforehand.
You were this bright little boy.
Well, no, we used to have a lot of programming for children. PYP, programs for young people.
Oh, that's a shame that we don't.
Every day from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., 5 days a week.
Educational or what?
No! Radio.
No. Was it education? Yeah, I know it was radio.
Not necessarily. Radio just drama.
Really?
Things like Poisoned Arts, a show called The Radio, which presented The Count of Monte Cristo, or Techie Time, which was a wonderful show.
But you learned from all that.
Well, yes. I mean,
in a fun way. You can have fun and learn.
Yeah, but it's not that we were being didn't.
Right,
was
you weren't taught.
But it wasn't didactic.
And as opposed to the PBS at that time.
And by the way, that was Lou Hill's fourth category, as I forgot. It was music, drama and literature, public affairs, and young people's programming.
Oh, that is
Are the four categories that Pacifica Radio was based on, and people have lost that vision. They need to return to that vision, that these four areas are the ones that made up the pilot project that became Pacifica Radio. That is what WBAI needs to rediscover and relearn and relive, and very much in tune with what you are doing with Green Cabaret and that talk we had, the music that we heard from Gary, the talk that we had with Gloria. I mean,
this is what BAI is about, heart and soul.
Yeah, absolutely. Heart and soul and spirit and blessed be. You know, it really, really is supposed to be about that, and which is why I'm so glad to be the one who sort of carries the banner of Margot's first solo program.
And you carry it well. I
try. You know, it's become my own. Absolutely.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But that's the spirit from which it emanated.
Yeah.
And I will make her come back onto this time slot. I do this every so often. I coerce her onto our air, which she loves. You know, NPR is a good thing, and what she does at NPR is wonderful. But it's nothing like hearing her talk,
be free.
Emote, be free.
Right, and you don't have that at NPR.
No.
As good as it is, but it has its limitations.
As good as it is, it is a format. It is a type of radio.
Right.
It is a good type of radio, but it is not the type that we have here. There is room for all of us.
Exactly. There truly is.
As long as the spirit is good, as long as the idea ideas are good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you want to synthesize those. You want those to come together into one place Friday, 7 p.m.
Woo! Yep, Green Cabaret,
we have
All Souls Church.
Yeah, we have not. This fundraising drive just began. We have not been telling you call up and donate. We have not, you know, at this number solely. What we have been telling you is join this community. And the way to do that is to attend that cabaret. It and there is where we hope that you will donate money, that you will become a part of the WBAI family.
And become a BAI buddy.
Already, become a BAI buddy.
At the Green Cabaret.
Become an Earth Mum buddy.
Yeah.
join in. I mean, I saw Lister, who's about to come on the air. You were out there, as it were, with Gary Knox for like about 40 minutes after he left this room. You were talking. That's what a place like this is all about, that kind of spiritual and
sharing,
cultural intercourse,
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
the best sense of the of the word.
Yeah.
And I have felt that, Helena, very much this morning, thanks to you, that it was a splendid way to celebrate 40 years of doing this show.
Oh.
Because the spirit that you brought to it is exactly the kind of thing that we need to be doing, not only on Hour of the Wolf, but at WBAI.
Yeah.
Well, thank you,
I honor
Kathy
your
David.
Spirit. Thank you, Kathy Davis, for helping us get together with this. Yes.
Yes, and thank the listeners for being there.
Thank you, Robert Knight. We took your spot as well. Thank you.
And I will be back, not next week probably, but in 2 weeks with Richard Bowes, a great science fiction writer and fantasy writer and wonderful human being. And in the meantime, oh yeah, another website to visit, ourwolf.com, or go to Facebook and join the Hour of the Wolf group there.
And go to earthmum.com for Green Cabaret. Go to give2wbai.org. And in the upper right-hand corner is tickets. You can purchase tickets there. You can purchase tickets at the door Friday at 7 p.m. at All Souls Church on Lexington Avenue at 80th Street. And come a little bit earlier so you can mingle.
And mingle and mingle. Whether you get or not, everybody within the sound of my voice, blessed be. Good morning.
Lots of love.
Work. Tell me I'm illusion. Yo, that's an illusion. Huh, suckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they still have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover. The red, white, the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm the lover of this flag. Like many others take the same turn. Like me, they yearn for the flag too.
Let me hide you. Oh, make me run, make me run. Oh, brother, and sisters, come, let me run, let me run. Oh, mother, and father, is a land of disunity. It's not a land of harmony. It's also a land of brutality. Not a land for you and me. So come, I dream some, I dream some. Get on the ground, yeah. Come, make me run, make me run. Before Princeton come, yeah. Run, 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 run. Now, now, my bed. Run, 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 run. Left them, behind. Prosperity and land of equality, away from all iniquity. That's the land for you and me. So come, make me run, make me run. Oh, brothers and sisters, yeah. Come, make me run, make me run. Oh, mothers and fathers, yeah. Run, 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 run. Now, now, my bed. Run, 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 run. Less than me, I had you.
Run, 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 run.
You got to run away from me.
We'll be right back.